Alright, good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 13th January 2020. It's a Thursday. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are on page 126 of the hard copy, last paragraph. The soft copy is chapter 1, page 1. Okay. We will be offering the light as usual, and you can have your half an hour of awareness based meditation before we commence the sharing. Okay. So remember to apply the four support that you need to develop awareness based meditation. First, to relax body and mind, followed by maintaining awareness. To maintain awareness is very simple. You just silence your mind. When you don't think, then nature inside is just aware. But when thought arise, you lost your awareness because that thought took over. But for cultivator of the way, the awareness is always there. So when thought arises, the awareness is aware of the arising of thought. But that arising of thought is the mundane mind, the thinking mind. That one is conditioned arising causal phenomena. It needs causes and conditions for it to arise. And most of the time is from memory. Whatever your senses that has the ability to perceive the external phenomenal world of form through memory, it will process it and retrieve whatever memory or information within, which is your views, opinion, conditioning, and accumulated knowledge and memories. So this one creates thought. That's why thought is respond to all these accumulated memories. Then your content of consciousness means your mental intention and movement or volition. They come from your views, your opinion, and your conditioning. That's how you function as a human being. So relax, maintain awareness. Then observe. The third support is maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then finally, when your awareness nature has stabilized, you have to start using the fourth support, which is trust. So here, trust is not used until later. When your awareness has stabilized, when you are quite skillful with the way you develop your meditation, then trust here means you trust your nature to do the meditation without the interference of thought. No need to know, no need to do anything, just aware. Then the awareness that is aware will understand. Then the awareness that is aware will develop the sensitivity and move. That's how you develop the understanding of what is going on. Then from there, wisdom arises, understanding will arise. Because whatever that arises from your mundane mind, thinking mind, or the fire gate of form and mind, they will unfold according to reality. And the mindfulness or the awareness within is the one that is capable of seeing all this, understanding all this. That's why you can understand clearly who are you, what are you, and what this phenomenal world of consciousness and form is all about, and how they arise, how creation come to be. And you will also come to know that you have two minds. One is the normal, mundane, thinking mind. which you have been exposed to since birth until now, and this one has been so often used without understanding, so much so you forgot that you got another nature behind this mundane mind. And this nature is your awareness nature, which is your true mind. This true mind can only be realized when thought ceases, when thought is no longer active, then it will arise. So with this understanding, I will let you meditate on your own. I will set the alarm now. There are 11 form Dhamma. There are 8 mind Dhammas. There are 51 Dhammas belonging to the mind. There are 24 Dhammas non-interactive with the mind. There are the 6 unconditioned Dhamma. Altogether, there are 100 Dhammas. So this is the Mahayana's way of subdivision of all this Dhamma is very different from the Theravada tradition, where in the Abhidhamma they actually do the separation differently. Although there are so many Dhammas among them, all there is non-self or no self. Therefore, we should not be attached to Dhammas. The Vajra Sutta or Diamond Sutta says, 11 Dhammas should be cast aside. How much the more so that which are not Dhammas? When you have cultivated to the extreme limit where both people and Dhamma are both empty, you must give up attachment to Dhammas. You become attached to the existence of Dhamma. You contract the Dhamma attachment. There are 2 kinds of attachment: the self attachment and the Dhamma attachment. Before people have understood the Buddha Dharma, they are attached to the self, sakkayaditi, self-delusion. Everything revolves around themselves. With attachment, they become obstructed, deluded, and filled with dream thoughts. Once you understand the Buddha Dharma, you may give rise to Dhamma attachment. So the Buddha spoke the 4 applications of mindfulness and taught us to contemplate Dhamma as void of self. Contemplate all Dhamma as having non-self. Since there is no self, how could there be Dhammas? Therefore, you must contemplate Dhamma as without a self. Contemplate the body as impure. Feelings, thought, and Dhamma are also impure. Contemplate feeling as suffering. The body, thought, and Dhamma are also suffering. Contemplate thoughts as impermanent, and also the body, feeling, and Dhammas. Contemplate Dhamma as without self, and also body, feeling, and thoughts. The 4 applications of mindfulness are thus mutually related. The Buddha told his disciple that after his Nirvana, they should always dwell in the 4 foundation of mindfulness or 4 application of mindfulness and never leave them. In answer to the 3rd question that Ananda asked regarding whom the disciple should take as their teacher after the Buddha enter Parinibbana, the Buddha said, take the Patimokkha, the monk's precepts, as your teacher. All bhikkhus and bhikkhuni must cultivate in accordance with the precepts. If you do not rely upon the precept in cultivation, the Dhamma will become extinct. If the precepts are relied upon, the Buddha Dharma will remain in the world. For every person who cultivates according to the precepts, Buddhism has just that much more light. If 10 persons cultivate according to the precepts, then Buddhism will give off 10 parts of light. If 100, 1,000, 10,000 people cultivate according to the precepts and do not violate them, then boundless, limitless light will destroy all the darkness in the world. Therefore, in cultivation, holding the precept is essential. As to Ananda's fourth question, how should we treat evil nature, bhikkhu? The Buddha said, simply be silent and ignore them. There is no way to reason with them. All you can do is refuse to talk to them. They will become ashamed of themselves and may even come around to following the rules. The best method is not to argue with them. This was the way the Buddha answered Ananda's four questions. The word thus expresses the credibility of the Dhamma that is about to be heard. The Dhamma you may believe is thus. Dhamma that you should not believe is not thus. Dhamma that is thus accord with condition yet does not change. It does not change and yet accords with condition. It is thus unmoving suchness. The Dhamma clear and constantly bright, thus it is. Thus also means it is sealed with approval. If you do things correctly, if you do things in accord with the Buddha's heart, then it is thus. If you are at variance with the Buddha's heart, then it is not thus. I have heard this Ananda saying, the Dhamma which is thus is that which I personally heard the Buddha spoke. It is not my own invention or my own creation. I heard it from the Buddha. Ananda was quite a bit younger than the Buddha. In fact, the Buddha left home when he was 19 and accomplished the way when he was 30. Ananda was born on the day the Buddha accomplished the way. And at 20, he left the home and served the Buddha. Therefore, he did not hear the Dhamma taught by the Buddha during the first 20 years of teaching. How then was Ananda able to compile the sutta if he haven't even heard those first 20 years of the Buddha's teaching? That's a good question. Ananda was the Buddha's cousin. He left home when he was 20 and made the vow to remember and recollect all the Buddha's words. But since he hadn't heard the first year of the Buddha's teaching, he requested the Buddha to repeat it all for him. So the Buddha in secret re-spoke all the sutta to Ananda, who, by means of his excellent memories, remembered them all perfectly. Thus, from beginning to end, all the Dhamma the Buddha spoke went past his ear directly to his heart and was never forgotten. Therefore, it is said, the great seed of the Buddha Dhamma flowered right into Ananda's heart. Ananda was actually a great bodhisattva who manifested provisionally as an arahat. All the suttas spoken by a past Buddha were compiled by Ananda. That is why after his enlightenment, he was able to remember all the Dhamma spoken by the Buddha of the past. The Dhamma spoken by all the Buddha is essentially the same. For that reason, in the Dhamma assembly of Sakyamuni Buddha, Ananda was able to entirely recall the sutta he has been taught in the past. And even though he did not hear them in this lifetime. So that is the first part of the sutta. Now second part of the sutta. At one point, the Buddha dwelt on Mount Birakuta near the city of the king's abbot. Together with a gathering of great Buddhist bhikkhu, 12,000 in all. So here you have all this fulfilled. So B2 is the audience. B1 just now is a time and place Dhamma was heard. So Gidra Kuta. Then after that, members of then hearer, Vishu, the well known, then get categories and number. All were arahats whose outflow has ceased and who had no further affliction. Having attained self-benefit, they had cast off the bonds of all existence and their hearts had attained self-mastery. So this part is on the position and place of their virtue. So we go to the commentaries. At one time fills the time requirement, since the calendar system used in the various states of India and China were different, an exact date was not given, for that would lead to endless speculation among historians. What time was it? It was the time when Sakyamuni Buddha spoke the Dhamma Flower Sutta. The Buddha fills the host requirement. To review, the Buddha is a Sanskrit word name, meaning the enlightened one. The Chinese word for is a transliteration of only the first syllables. Because the Chinese like to abbreviate. There are three kinds of enlightenment. Basic enlightenment. This is the inherent Buddha nature in all beings. Our enlightenment potential, which does not depend on cultivation. So this is basic enlightenment nature. The initial enlightenment nature is the result to study the Buddha Dharma and to actualize the enlightenment potential. Day by day, we become a little more enlightened. For example, each time we listen to the sutra lecture, we understand a little bit more Buddha Dharma. After 10 days, we will understand quite a lot. Eventually, we will come to understand it completely. When we understand it completely, we can realize Buddhahood, and that is the third ultimate enlightenment. There are also the following three types of enlightenment. First is the self-enlightenment. Those who are self-enlightened are different from common people who are unenlightened. This refers to the two vehicles of sound hearer and conditioned enlightened ones. The enlightenment of others, these are the bodhisattvas, who are different from the sound hearer and the conditioned enlightened one. These bodhisattvas teach everyone the teaching that they themselves have understood so that they can become enlightened ones. This is the spirit of the bodhisattva who benefited themselves and benefited others. Those of the two vehicles only benefited themselves. They do not benefit others. They gain their own understanding, but do not seek to lead others to the same understanding. The Buddha called these people the people of these two vehicles, self-ending arahats. Well, here they use very strong word. He scolded them. I think it should not be the word scolded them. Reprimanded them, maybe a softer word. And said they were without sprout and sterile seed. Oh, sorry, they were withered sprout and sterile seed because they do not concern themselves with propagating the Buddha Dhamma. Then the third one is the perfection of enlightenment and practice. This is the enlightenment of Buddhas. Although bodhisattva enlightens others, they do not perfect their enlightenment and practice. Only the Buddha had perfected. both self-enlightenment and practice of enlightenment, enlightening others. That's why it's called ultimate enlightenment. Having perfected the three types of enlightenment and become complete with the 10,000 virtues, they are called the Buddhas, Samasambuddhas. Sakyamuni Buddha was born in India, the son of King Suddhodana, the ruler of Kapilavastu. His personal name was Siddhartha. He left the home life when he was 19, realized Buddhahood at the age of 30, and taught the Dhamma for 49 years in over 300 Dhamma assemblies. So this record is a bit different from what is being recorded in the Theravada tradition. In the Theravada tradition, it seems he left home at the age of 29. He cultivated for 6 years and became enlightened at the age of 35. That's why he spent 45 years sharing the Dhamma, spreading the Dhamma, teaching the Dhamma until he passed away or parinibbana at the age of 80. So here you have to make a note. The Buddha's disciple Ananda was 30 years younger than he was. Ananda left home when he was 20. He heard the Buddha's teaching for only 29 years, but the Buddha used his spiritual penetration to re-speak the first 20 years of his teaching to Ananda, who remembered them exactly and then record and compile them. Then the next part of the sutta is, the Buddha dwelt on Mount Gidrakuta near the city of the king's abode. This fills the requirement of place. The city of the king abode, Rajagriha. Let us discuss another famous city, Sarvati. Sarvati is a Sanskrit word interpreted to mean abundant virtue. The citizens were wealthy in the pleasure of the five desires, and they possessed the virtue of erudition and liberation. The five desires can refer to the five defiling sense objects of form, sound, smell, taste, and tangible object, or to wealth, sex, fame, food, and sleep. There was an abundance of the state of the five desires in that kingdom. Erudition means the people were fond of studying, and liberation means they were carefree and at ease. Rajagriha was the capital of the city of Magadha in central India. The city was surrounded by five mountains, one of which is Mount Gidrakuta, or they call it the Vulture's Peak, so named because it was shaped like a vulture. Together with a gathering of great bhikkhu, 12,000 in all, most of the sutta list a gathering of 1,250 bhikkhu, but there was an especially large gathering at the Dhamma Flower Sutta Assembly. Great bhikkhus are those about to certify to the fruit of the Arahantship. Because the word bhikkhu contains many meanings, it is not translated but is left in Sanskrit. The three meanings of the word bhikkhu are mendicant, frightener of maras, and destroyer of evil. Mendicant means bhikkhu do not prepare their own food. In the Buddha's time, some of them maintained the ascetic practice of eating only one meal a day before noon. Others maintained the ascetic practice of not eating after noon. When it was time to eat, they took their bath into the city and back from door to door. Actually, it's not begging, it's like they go for alms round, pindapata, and lay people will give them offering of food. Frightener of Mara means when one who has left the home life is about to receive the complete precepts. The precept master consisting of 3 masters and 7 certifiers asked him, "Are you a hero?" He answered, "Yes, I'm a hero. Have you brought forth the result for Bohi?" They asked. "I have brought forth the result for Bohi," he answered. The moment he answered the second question, an earth-traveling Yaka ghost tells a space-traveling Yaka ghost, who in turn informed the 6th desire heaven, where Mara dwells, saying, "Among people, such and such a person has left home. The Buddha's retinue has increased by 1, and the retinue of Mara has decreased by 1. Hearing this, the demon king is jealous and frightened. Therefore, bhikkhus are called frighteners of Mara. Then destroyer of evil, bhikkhu destroy the evils of affliction and ignorance, as well as the poison of greed, hatred, and delusion. The assembly of bhikkhu, who were sound hearers, filled the requirements of audience. How many were there? 12,000. Every sutta begins with this 6 requirement, because unless all 6 requirements are fulfilled, the Buddha will not speak the Dhamma. For example, there must be an audience to listen, and a place to which to speak the Dhamma. Third, a host speakers is needed. The Dhamma master who genuinely understood Buddha Dhamma. If you have an audience and a place, but no one speaks the Dhamma, you cannot convene a Dhamma assembly. Next, you need a time, for example, 7 to 9 in the evening. What is spoken must be heard. There is people need to come and listen. Otherwise, the requirement of hearing is not fulfilled. If you listen, but you do not believe it, then the requirement of faith is lacking. If you think, "I don't know what this Dhamma master is talking about, I don't know if it is true or false," then you lack faith. You may think the Dhamma master speaks extremely well. He is most articulate. The more I hear, the more I want to listen, in which case the requirement of faith is met. Now in our sutta lecture, these 6 requirements have also been met. First of all, you must have faith, and then you can listen to the sutta or lecture. In order for there to be a hearing, there must be a time and a Dhamma master who can lecture the sutta. Further, there must also be a place and an assembly that convinces it. None of these 6 requirements must be lacking. The phrase "together with a gathering of 12, the gathering of great bhikkhus, 12,000 in all, denotes the numbers present. The following phrase, "all arhats whose outflow has ceased, who had no further affliction, having attained peace and self-benefit, they had cast off the bonds of all existence, and their heart had attained self-mastery, praise the virtue of the arhats." All arhats, the Sanskrit word. Arhats has 3 meanings, which correspond to 3 meanings of the word bhikkhu. Bhikkhu is the cause, the arahat is the fruition of it. Cultivation on the coarser ground as a bhikkhu leads to arahantship. One is worthy of offering on the coarser ground. A bhikkhu is a mendicant. As a result, an arahat is worthy of offering, worthy of receiving offerings from humans and gods, and both should make offering to them. Arahat also means one who should make offering. That is, one who should make offering to the others. Bhikkhu, to the other bhikkhu. For example, when the Buddha was in the world, the bhikkhu and common people make offering to the Buddha. But one time the Buddha transformed himself into a cultivator of the way and made offering to all the bhikkhu in turn. The second meaning is slayer of thief. The arahat slayed the thief of ignorance and affliction, and the six thieves of the eyes, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind, the six sandal. You may ask, they have slain the thieves, but have they slain the non-thieves? Yes, as a matter of fact, they had. Not only have they slain the thief, they have slain non-thief as well. Someone may wonder, what are the non-thieves? In the small vehicle, the soul hearer and the conditioned enlightened ones look upon certain things as being non-thief, which at the Buddha or Bodhisattva level are seen as thief. These they had also slain. So the third quality is one without birth. This one is the hallmark of an arahat. On the coarser ground, a bhikkhu fights mara and as a result become an arahat, one who is without birth anymore. He is neither produced nor destroyed. At the fourth stage of arahantship, one awakens to the patient or non-production of dhamma without the great treacherousness. One sees not the slightest dhamma coming into being, nor the slightest dhamma cease to be, as it is an unspeakable, ineffable state. It can only be endured in the heart, therefore it is called patient of the non-production of dhamma. There are four levels of arahantship. The first stage of arahantship is called the sotapan. At the first stage of arahantship, birth and death has not yet been ended. It is called the position of the way of seeing. Sotapan means stream enterer. They have entered the stream of the Dhamma nature of the sage and go against the stream of the sixth sense object of the common people. That's why I always say when you become awakened or enlightened, the opposite is always true. You go against the stream. That's why what almost sentient being believe to be logical or true is always, almost all the time, the opposite. The six sense objects are form, sound, smell, taste, tangible object, and dhammas. Those who are certified to the first fruit of arahantship do not enter into form, sound, smell, taste, tangible objects or dhammas. Form, because they have the power of concentration. Form do not move their mind. Whether or not a form is beautiful, no matter how nice looking it is, when they encounter it, their mind are not affected, and they do not enter into form. So, most people like to hear nice music, songs. The first stage of arahant are simply not affected by sound, be they good, bad, pleasant, or irritating, right or wrong sound. They are not turned by sound. They are able to turn the sound. That is, they are in charge. Smell is the same because they are turned by smell. People are fond of pleasant smell and are displeased by the bad ones. If they are fond of and displeased by the smell, you have thoughts of love and hate, and are therefore affected by smell. Similarly, taste, because we are turned by taste, we like to eat a little more of the tasty food and tend to avoid the bad ones. At the first stage of arahantship, one is not affected by taste. Similarly, tangible object, ordinary people are all greedy for object of touch. Emotional love between man and woman arises when one has not seen through and set aside the desire for object of touch. People desire that their bodies come into contact with another body because they are not able to turn the object of touch. Arahant of the first stage are not affected by object of touch. They are not greedy for beautiful things. the touch or lovely things to hold upon. And finally, Dhamma. There are many different kinds of Dhammas. If you are attached to them, they are also defiling objects. So first stage of Arahant are not attached to any Dhamma whatsoever. If someone claims that he has certified to the friction, obtained the way, and become enlightened, you can test him out. Invite him to lunch and present him with two dishes, one delectable and the other one nauseating. Then let him take his pick. But don't tell him you are testing him. Or of course, he will take the bad food. But in deliberately wanting to eat the bad food, he also betray a susceptibility to object of taste. Why? Well, he really likes the good food, but he knows you are testing him and so deliberately eat the bad food. He is still being turned and is merely putting in an act. If he is truly not turned by smell and taste, then he won't do any picking. He will just eat the good along with the bad because he makes no distinction. This proves the cultivator has a bit of skill, but still does not guarantee that he has certified to the first fruit. You cannot causally claim to have certified to the fruit. You must be able to prove it. Then the second stage of Arahantship is called a Sakadagami, which means once returner. First stage of Arahant must undergo 7 more rebirth maximum. But second stage of Arahant are called once returner because they need only to be born once in the heavens and once among people. The third stage of Arahantship is called Anagami, which means non-returner. They do not again undergo birth and death in the sanctuary. The first stage of Arahantship is called the position of the way of seeing. The second and third stage together are called the position of the way of cultivating, where one still has to cultivate. The fourth stage is a position beyond study. One needs study no more. At the position beyond study, birth and death, which is the shared section of the segmented life, has been ended. But one still have an end, change, birth and death. There are two kinds of birth and death. The shared section, which is the segmented form of mind, birth and death, and the change, birth and death, which is the outflow of thoughts. Share refer to our bodies. Everyone has a body, which is a certain size and weight, and that is called our share. Everyone has his or her own particular lifespan. Change, birth and death refers to the uninterrupted birth and death or the succession of thoughts that flow through the mind. Arahant have not ended change of birth and death of the outflow of thought. It is only at the bodhisattva level that change, birth and death is ended. This has been a general discussion. This has been a general discussion of the word Arahant. The rhyme of the spiritual penetration and transformation of the fourth stage of Arahant is an inconceivable state, subtle and difficult to describe. Fourth stage of Arahant spiritual power are completely different from those of non-Buddhist religion. They have the 5 eyes and the 6-bit spiritual penetration. They can jump up into empty space and stand suspended right in the air. They can walk in the air too and stand on their head while suspended in space. They can emit flame from top of their body and water from lower part of their bodies. Or they emit water from the upper part of their body and fire from the lower part. They can fly and perform all kinds of miraculous transformation. In general, they can manifest 18 different types of transformation because they have spiritual power. They belong to the four sage realm. The Buddha, Bodhisattva, conditioned enlightened ones, and so here. Once there is an Arahant who accepts a young disciple, as the two of them went out traveling one day, the disciple carried their belongings on his back. He thought, there's really nothing finer than the Bodhisattva way. I'm definitely going to study it and help all living beings. Just as the disciple had that thought, the Arahant knew. The Arahant thought, he has decided to become a Bodhisattva. I'm only an Arahant, so I should carry the baggage. And he took the bag from the disciple. As they continued down the road, the disciple began thinking of Sariputta. When Sariputta had tried to cultivate the Bodhisattva, he met a person who asked for his eyes. Accordingly, he plucked out his left eye and gave it to him. However, the monk said that he had no use of his left eye. He wanted Sariputta's right eye. At that point, Sariputta's Bodhisattva came to an abrupt end. The Bodhisattva way is obviously too difficult for me. The disciple thought, I will cultivate the Arahant Dhamma and take care of myself. When his teachers saw that his disciple, who had previously turned from the small vehicle towards the great, had now returned from the great to the small and had, so to speak, shifted into reverse gear, he handed the bag back to him and said, here, I can't carry this anymore. Pretty soon, the disciple's Bodhisattva heart popped up again. He again turned from the small to the great, and the Arahant shouldered the bag again. Finally, the disciple's curiosity got the best of him. Why are you carrying this thing back and forth like that? He asked. When you bring forth the resolve of Bohi, for Bohi, said the Arahant, I'm a mere Arahant, should rightfully carry the bag. When you retreat, I'm in no position to carry it and must return it to you. Hearing this, the disciple knew that his teacher was indeed extraordinary. He brought forth the Bodhisattva heart and diligently practiced the Bodhisattva way. The Arahant had spiritual penetration that permitted him to be free and at ease wherever he went. When the Venerable Ananda was about to compile the sutta, he had not yet obtained the fourth stage of Arahantship, the ceasing of outflow. The Arahants who gathered to organize the convention for compiling the sutta decided that in order to take part, one has to be at least the fourth stage of Arahants. Consequently, Ananda was only at the third stage of Arahant, was left outside the door. They wouldn't let him in, and he was extremely upset. I remember all the sutta of the Buddha spoke, but now I can't even attend the meeting. This one referred to the first council. What am I to do? He was so nervous, not angry, mind you, but nervous, that he certified to the fourth fruit of friendship. I have certified the fourth fruit, he cried, open the door and let me in. But the Arahant inside just said, really? If you have certified the fourth fruit, you don't need to have the door open. Climb in through the keyhole. Ananda did just that. So you see, Arahant don't need to open the door to get into a room. If someone claimed to be an Arahant but still had to use the key, the door, you can be sure he is lying. So Arahantship is not such a simple matter. As you can see from Ananda's having been initially left outside the room, the door, when the sutta were to be compiled, whose outflow has ceased At the fourth stage of Arahantship, one's outflow ceases. There is not just one kind of outflow. How many kinds are there? Broadly speaking, there are 84,000 outflow and 84,000 affliction. Affliction themselves are outflows. Do you enjoy being afflicted? That's an outflow. Where do outflow go? They flow out into the three rhymes, the desire rhyme, the form rhyme, and the formless rhyme. All four are called outflow. All thoughts of desire are outflow. If you like to eat good food, there is an outflow. If you like to listen to good sound, there is an outflow. Liking to live in a nice house or to sleep in a luxurious bed is an outflow. So how many are there? How many things can you set aside? Outflow are like water pouring through a leak bottle. No matter how much water you pour, it flow right through. With outflow, when you do or perform act of merits and virtue, the merits and virtue flow out. You can't keep it. Human bodies are riddled with outflows. The eyes, the ear, the nose, the tongue, the mouth, and elementary orifice all flow with metal. The false thoughts in the mind are also outflow. There are simply too many of them. There are an inexhaustible number of them, even more than 84,000. All outflow refers to major shortcoming and minor fault. All of your particular undesirable habits are outflow. To get even more basic, smoking, drinking, gambling, chasing after women are all outflow. Chasing after men is an outflow too. Don't think it applies only to men. It works both ways. Women, in fact, have more outflow than men. Women have a monthly outflow. To be more explicit about it, when you cannot keep your semen, energy, and spirit in check, you have outflow. The biggest outflow occurs through the male and female reproductive organ as a function of sexual desire. There are many, many outflow. However, this arahant has ceased to have any outflow. Cease means that they've put an end to them. It does not mean that their outflow had flowed out until they were all gone. When you read the sutta, you have to be careful to interpret these things correctly. They had no outflow. They did not flow out. It was not the case that all their outflow had flowed out. The fourth stage of arahant had obtained the penetration of extinction or outflow, which is one of the six spiritual penetration. Before one reached the fourth stage of arahantship, one's outflow had not yet ceased. These 12,000 arahant have put an end to all outflows and have not the slightest fault. They were sages, having no further affliction. All of the great arahants have obtained the penetration of extinction of outflow and therefore have no further affliction. If they had not obtained that penetration, they will still have affliction. Further means they will never become afflicted again. They have done what have to be done and will undergo no further becoming. Because they had ended birth and death, they have no affliction. There are still about 9 more pages before we finish this section. Now maybe we'll stop here and maybe we shall have more time for Q&A.
Hello, Amitofo,
brother.
I just thought that I want to share this experience during puja last Tuesday.
Oh, very good. Okay.
Last Tuesday. Yes. Because this one, I had not had this kind of experience before. So, maybe by sharing with brother, maybe brother have some similar experience that, you know, can share some light as well.
Yeah. Yes.
on the 11th of January. So, Brother, I attended the session for following your puja, right? So, we all, I mean, of course, we have the screen, handphone in front of us, right?
Yes.
I mean, for me, yeah, the handphone in front of me, so I can look at it. So, I was saying I followed the puja that Brother did. So, Brother, you did the Ohao first, right? The Ohao, like, Nama Bensusu Jamoni Po, and so I was doing that, but Brother, for that day, that day is kind of different for me because I was like at the beginning of it, I was very, very joyful, you know.
Yeah.
I doing the for how I was very, very joyful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very, very joyful. Once you do that, right, like, I want to just step on the floor and follow up, my mind was like recollecting the significance of the Buddhist sattvas, you know.
Yes.
Sasana, yeah. Okay, with that right, I mean, now I tell you the experience that I feel inside, huh?
Yeah.
The joy coming out, you know. And then after that, huh, Bratu?
Yeah.
You cannot believe this. You cannot believe this, you know. I don't know. This what in my vision,
I see
Bratu, right? Bratu was kneeling down in front of the altar, right? In front of Sakyamuni Buddha, right?
Yeah.
But between Bratu and the Sakyamuni Buddha, the Kuan Yin appear, you know.
Wow, sadhu.
Yeah, I went away with the joy. Until the four finish, right? Then I realized, how come the Kuan Yin is in front of you, you know? So you see that thing happened, you know.
Then
my thought came out that I was, after the four finish, right?
Yeah.
The thought came out and said, something different, you know. Then I realized what I saw in the video. So it was like, that day was totally different. Lots of joy, you know, a lot of joy. The recollection of the significance of
when you are doing this style of cultivation, when your faith is very strong, a lot of these things can manifest. In the early years when I started, it's the same. My faith in the Buddha and the great things, especially Kuan Yin, because of affinity, it's very strong. Then they came, they appear.
So the vision appear, right? But I mean, I see because I was wearing a spec, not blur. So I see, how come the Kuan Yin in front of the Baratio and then he's in front of the Sakyamuni, means the Kuan Yin is Brother and Sakyamuni Buddha, it was so clear. Then I said, I just where. And then after that, you know, when the thought came out, then I realized that I see something different, you know. In front of me, the vision is different, you know.
Although
of course, I cannot capture in my handphone. I do not know.
No need to capture.
I do not know, you know.
That
is already over when my thought came out. It's already over. And then
Just let things be.
So amazing, you know.
Amazing. For those who can see, they will have these glimpses. This appear suddenly without them expecting anything. That suddenly.
Yes. It was quite a while because I went away. Until the four-hour finish, right? Then I said, I saw something. So I was thinking, Brother,
this is our thing. For those who can see, they can see. In fact, there were many occasions where Kayamitas and sometimes other people, they told me what happened. One of the incidents was when we were doing the consecration of the Sakyamuni Buddha and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and Maitreya's platform in Anandagiri. The night we reached Anandagiri, we're supposed to have a rehearsal for our next morning consecration. So we did the rehearsal for the chanting that night, almost middle of the night. Oh, the weather, everything was so fantastic. Like you can feel the sun is there and a lot of things is happening. Then after we do the chanting, we supposed to do the sharing of merit and transform merit. So when I started that transform merit, the sharing of merit, one of the Kayamita who can see, he saw that after the thing. In fact, immediately when I did the sharing of merit and transform merit, there was a very strong fragrant, very, very fragrant type of scent. Very strong. I have never smelled such a strong one. Means a lot of those devas and beings are there. Then the at first I thought maybe Ajahn Ajahn brought the incense or the flower that the jasmine thing where a lot of nice smell on. I thought that was the thing. But no. Later on I came to know he just brought the small Guan Yin image. Then I think just on that nothing had good fragrance. Then after I share Mary everything, the moment I stop, the smell gone, no more. Then this Kayamita after that came and see me. He said, Bratil, you know what happened or not last night when you did the sharing? I say, what happened? He said, the moment you start, all those devas, the grippings, all they come down behind you, is it? That's why the smell was so strong, the fragrance. They immediately finish, zoom, all gone. Very fast they come down, and very fast pop up. So for those who can see, they will see. Yeah, these are the manifestations. But please, don't go and be so excited and go and spread all this. Forget about it. Yeah, this is not something to talk about that people cannot understand. It creates more misunderstanding. That is not so much of what happened. What happened is the condition. Where they were conditioned. We were doing the consecration for the special occasion of this Sakyamuni Buddha, supported by Kuan Yin and Maitreya. That's why the three sacred beings platform, which we donated, we make offering them. Ajahn Ajahn, very strange. He offered us, I don't know what made him make the decision to do the chanting together with him. And then we are mostly English educated ones. So we chant the Heart Sutra in Mandarin. Then we chant the Great Compassion Mantra. I think nine times. Then there is also this what they call it, the Maha Karuna Dharani or what in Pali. That one, Ajahn Ajahn joined us. So that day when the rehearsal was done, the weather was so beautiful. We were on the old platform doing the rehearsal. So the weather, the nature, you can sense for the cultivator of the way they can sense a lot of beings are there. A lot of things is happening. But at first, it was all up there in the heavens. Then later on, when I do the sharing, where they rejoice and they come down and they went up. The next day was even more fantastic. The next day when early morning we wake up and we get ready to go. Before we move out of the hotel, there was this light drizzling. And as we move out, the Anandagiri is quite near, about 1 or 2, less than 2 kilometers, I think about 1 or 2 kilometers. As we move out, the rain starts to become a little bit more, but not heavy rain, but a little bit more on the way there. Then when we reached the foothill of Anandagiri, it was so amazing. The whole of the hill of Anandagiri, only there, like covered with white clouds, mist, and then cloud. like they call it the heavenly realm. In Mandarin, it's 仙境. Yeah. So this type of weather condition is like Kuan Yin's abbot. They like to have this type of dew and all the very nice weather, cooling, really cool. That's why when we approach, we saw that then the bus, the van that took us all there, we went through. Then when we were there, oh, that dew that come down, it's like blessing water. And then we had our chanting. Oh, that consecration, that chanting was so beautiful. You can sense a lot of things like they have been waiting for that occasion. And many of the Kayamitas who were there, they witnessed it, and there was so much energy and joy. That's why a lot of these things can be felt by people, seen by people who have the faith and who are cultivators of the way. So all this is meant to give us faith, to give us understanding, so that our resolve will be strong, so that we know you walk the path of Dhamma, you do the work of Dhamma, the cultivator of the way, the great beings will support you, and the devas, the Dhamma protector, everything, they will rejoice, and they really, really come together. To rejoice on such happy and unique occasion. So all this is what Dhamma is all about. So sadhu to you, Pachang. If we give you the faith, it's very good. Faith is very important. Then there are the people who saw me while I was doing the Mahayana chanting. Then they saw something manifest. Then there were also other people who saw, but for me, it's nothing. It's your condition. It's your, this, what we call affinity. If it can give you faith and give you understanding, then my nature rejoices. Yeah. But don't take all this to be like special psychic or no, forget about it. Because the Dhamma is the Dhamma. When you have affinity with the triple gem, this type of thing do manifest and you can witness them, you can see them, you can feel them. Like when I was, after 1989, when I had the Dhamma, I was full of gratitude. I wanted to thank Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Yeah. So I look at my home's Kuan Yin image with the gratitude and the joy, and I really thank Kuan Yin where he came, she came with a special message, the triple gem on my palm, 1986. Then from that moment onward, my nature just moved. Then within 3 years, everything happened for the place. That's why because of that I had gratitude. Then miraculously, you know, from the image show, that event that happened when I was 8 years old, means 27 years ago, manifesto. Then I straight away knew that event was to let me understand that it was Kuan Yin, that the nature that helped me at that moment. I almost drowned and died. I was swimming in the river at that time. Then the ball get drifted away and it's not supposed to come back. Then because I was young, I scared if I lost the ball, I may have to pay and I don't have the money to pay. So because of that, that moment, that instant, very moment when I have to make the decision, suddenly something miraculous happened. Because I rush out to get hold of the basketball where I can only swim a few strokes, not beyond that. But instead, when I rush out, I push the water and the basketball actually went off. Then I was trapped in between. If I don't come back, I will drown. If I go further, chances I will drown. So what happened was, at that moment, before I even had to make the decision, miraculously, the basketball flew back to me. And I just hugged on it, and full of relief. Then I swim back to the shore. Then I tell myself, I don't know what happened. I knew somebody helped me. I don't know what it was. Until 27 years later, I saw that image manifesting, the basketball coming back to me. Then I was young in the remote. Then I knew it was Kuan Yin. That's why I pay my respect. The tears, everything came out. The gratitude all came out. Yeah. That's why later on I recall this line, my segmented form and mind. At least on three occasions, I supposed to die, but I didn't die because of Kuan Yin. So all this, then you are cultivated all the way. That's why you know how to develop affinity with great beings and seek their protection, guidance, and blessing. All these are possible. That's why when we cultivate the Dhamma, we share marriage, we transform marriage. The Dhamma protector rejoins, and they know that's why they will protect us, because we are the sasana. We are the cultivator of the way. We share Dhamma. We actually cultivate and perfect ourselves and be a blessing to all. That's why we are part of the sasana. That's why when we chant Akasatta Chia Bhumata, Devanaga Mahindika, Bunyang Tang Anamuditwa, Chirang Rakkan Tulu Kasasa. The meaning is at the end. May they long protect the sasana, because we are the sasana. That's why they will protect you, because we share marriage with them, also marry them, and they rejoice. So all this, if you have developed the understanding and the cultivation, you will understand. And when you encounter this style of thing, you will have a lot of joy, a lot of gratitude, and you will know it's meant to be, to give us faith, to give us confidence that the Dhamma way is the correct way of living our life, cultivating and all those things. And this will manifest only when you have moved into the cultivation and developed the understanding very clearly and very well, that it will manifest and show it to you, to give you the condition to actually develop the stronger faith, the more what they call unwavering type of faith, because you will come to know, wow, this is really beautiful. Like you say, you're having a lot of joy. Then your faith is very strong. Then all this actually move your nature, your heart. And then something will manifest. When I was having my gratitude, I wanted to thank Kuan Yin for all the message and all those things that lead to my understanding and the awakening and all those things within the 3 years. Then suddenly, miraculously, to let me know more, the event that took place 27 years ago when I was 8 years old just manifest. That is how the Dhamma is. It is really, really amazing and wonderful. Okay, what's that? Sadhu.
Yes, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you for the elaborate sharing. Everything manifest and show you,
All this can happen. That's why later on you will go through them too on your part. Whatever that happened to your life, you will come to know one. The sign will come and they will manifest and you will know. At first you have a feeling that somebody helped you. You don't know what happened. Like when I was young, I told you all, I knew my life was different. My nature was different. From young, I can sense it. But I don't know what was it. How come everything like that happened? I know it has something to do with my past. But I don't know what it is until later on when I seek the Dhamma. When the Dhamma came back to me. Then all this understanding come back. Then it starts to manifest than the nature. That's why I can share all this Buddhist stuff that we teach people, train people, and explain a lot of things that people go through. It's because of my nature and also what my nature have gone through. The cultivation, the perfection, the understanding. That's why when you all share or ask questions on whatever happened to you, my nature will have the understanding. That's why I can, because of those conditions, share more and more with you all. That's why I say you all must take the opportunity to ask questions, to report your meditation, to report your experience, and to report what you experience or go through. All these are very beautiful, yeah? Especially for people who have the cultivation like you and many other paramita. They know what they went through is amazing and not normal. That's why they like to actually report and share. Sometimes they share with me personally, but later on when they come to know more and more, then I say, you don't worry. This is meant to be, you should share. But then now they are more keen to share. Last time some of the Kayamita, they are still new, then they thought, paisei are not so nice. Where people may think that they want to tell people that their cultivation is also like that. But no, don't worry about that. Where if it's genuine, sincere, you just report, but you know that this thing is the ordinary thing. It's not normal. It's really amazing. I show it to you and it manifests in such a beautiful manner. Just like the Buddha said, the Dhamma is pachetang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. It's not something you believe in or you think or you imagine. No, it's all from the nature itself. It will manifest according to nature's condition and deliver the understanding. It will unfold beautifully in front of you. And it shows it to you until you have to believe that this is nature. Nature is like that. In Hokkien we say, because it's like that. That's why the Buddha called it suchness. Thus, thus. So he asked Ananda to start the proclamation of his teaching by using the word, thus have I heard. So what Ananda heard is the Buddha's teaching, suchness, thus. That's why all this is the way it is, thus. It has to be like that. So these are all very beautiful, amazing Dhamma experience or possibility that the cultivator of the way can experience and go through. That's why it's not just cultivation. There are a lot of manifestations that will evolve, that will arise to let you develop the understanding, the faith, especially the faith. That's why you will experience deep gratitude, deep joy, deep understanding. Then that gratitude will actually manifest by itself. Then that form of mind, the individual, will become so different, so different. That's why during the early day, I went through all this. I was so amazed by what happened. That's when I used to hint to my wife, wow, not that one, another Dhamma. That's why sometimes I share with her and those close Kayamita, I say, you think it's fairy tale. Actually, what actually happened and the way it unfolds and manifests is even more fantastic than fairy tale. Fairy tale also not so exciting anymore. When this one unfolds, I tell you, it's more fantastic than fairy tale, really. Because it really, like, the impossible become possible. And this thing can happen. That's why I say, if you are not a true cultivator of the way, you cannot make all these clippings, cultivator of the way. the teacher, the guide, and all those things. You cannot encounter all this condition, all this great being's nature. But when you are the cultivator of the way, you always meet them, and you always experience and encounter all this. That's why it's so different. In fact, all the Kaya Metta who travel with me on spiritual trip, they know. Those who move around with me, they know our nature is different. We are like very blessed, very well protected. And the weather, everything all in the place. So understanding will surface when all these conditions unfold. This is true suchness, true teaching. When the teaching is such, it manifests such. That's why it's wonderful, really wonderful, amazing. Okay, Bajeng, you can continue your sharing.
Right, you summarize it very beautifully. It's really wonderful, Dharma sharing.
Yeah, because there are conditions for it. That's why these things surface.
Yes.
And this time I describe it in more detail because of your condition and ability to understand. Last time I only skipped through it. I mentioned a little bit only. I didn't go deep into it because no point at that time. I think people cannot understand. So I just hinted and mentioned, but now there is condition that I can explain better, and I can give more emphasis on the faith, on the confidence. Yeah, you can continue.
Yes. But this confidence and faith is so important.
Yes, you know? very important.
Like to recharge my confidence as well.
Yes.
You know, only when you cultivate, you know, then you can have this kind of manifestation.
Yeah, just like PG, the harp there, the nature, very strong. And there are a few Kaya Metta also like that, very different. So this is really beautiful. That's why last few years, actually, a lot of Kaya Metta progress, and they develop a lot of good understanding and progress, which is a very amazing thing. And my nature really rejoices when I hear them. That's why this nature keep on rejoicing. So sadhu to you and all the rest who has this ability to understand, develop the faith, and walk this way and progress.
Thank you, Vaitya.
Sadhu to you for bringing up a good occasion.
Our utmost gratitude to Vaitya for your guidance,
all
the sharing of conditions and explanation to us so that we can connect all the dots together.
Hi, Vaitya.
Sadhu.
To all Kalamitas and Mr. Steele, good evening to all. Ratio, when you were mentioning about another Giri.
You were there, isn't it?
Yeah, I was there. That also brought about one experience. Because Ratio, at that time, I was very new.
Pauline and you were very new.
I joined Bratio's class only in 2014. I went in 2015.
Yes.
I think during the consecration, the chanting, I remember there's one time the chanting was done at night.
Yes, the rehearsal.
It was with the crowd. I cannot remember. And towards the end of the chanting, I just have this vision, Bratio. In my mind's eye. It's like above the clouds. And lighted up. I can see all the devas and whatever.
Sadhu.
So many of them, Bratio. It's like It's just like when you see in the
yeah, the Jataka story.
In the painting, you know?
Yeah, like the painting of the Jataka story. Huh? And they come very fast, they disperse very fast.
And I was so shocked and amazed, and I couldn't believe what I was
saying. Wow, sadhu. Well, you never said this before.
Yeah, Bradio.
Yeah.
At that time, it's like so unbelievable, Bradio.
Yeah. It's just like, that's why I say it's very amazing one. But when it happened, it's very vivid one, and you will recall it one. Very clear one.
It's very vivid, I know I'm not imagining, you know, I cannot share that because I don't know how to.
You don't know how to express it at that time. Then you were new. You were new. Huh? But that is the one that will give you faith. Because when I went through the cultivation, there was one stage after 1989, I remember. My mind actually went up to the formless rhyme. Then as it passed through the Deva rhyme only, I saw all those beings. Then like your description, I saw they come very fast, they disperse very fast. Then some they move in pair. They were doing all those things. That's why your mind, when it transforms, it will go through those rhyme, those vibrations. Then it let you see, let you understand. And all this are causes and conditions that will manifest when you cultivate correctly, when you develop the mindfulness, the transformation of the awareness nature, then you will go through. So what you were able to witness is your affinity, your whatever karmic past and condition that allow you to have the affinity to see, then now you recall the joy came back to you. Then you, at this stage of your cultivation, you dare to share where you are very confident. So it is what the nature is, suchness, thus wonderful dharma. Sadhu to you, Vijay.
Yeah, but at a time, like I say, it's like so unbelievable.
really. That's why I say more fantastic than fairy tale. You say fairy tale, people don't believe. How can you see all this? And the confirmation is that very strong fragrance that night, rehearsal time. I don't know whether you smell it or not. Those in front, together with me, one, everybody told me they smell very strong. It was so fragrant.
Yeah, Bertio, I think I moved away from this subject. Maybe I discuss about my what I've been doing these last few weeks.
Oh, Sadhu, that would be good.
How to say, especially when I'm doing, after I came back, Bertio. Like I say, unfortunately, I seem to have lost a lot of what my mindfulness and sati, you know.
It's okay. It's for you to see. For you to see. After a period of time when you are not with the routine, you will lose them. But sometimes it's a test. Sometimes it just come. Then you don't worry. Have faith. Then continue to develop the routine again. That everything will fall back into place.
What you say? Actually, like last week and this week, I can feel that the sati is returning.
Returning.
There was one night when I was doing my night religious routine. I was so tired then, Bradio, so tired, but I still tell myself I must finish it.
Yeah, sadhu. That is the spirit of the cultivator. Yeah. No matter how tired, you just determined to do.
Determined to do it. Yes, that's the correct word, Bradio. Towards the end, when I was paying my respects and gratitude, I was like so tired that my body like just
sadhu.
No more resistant, Bradio.
Sadhu, that is the best moment.
That's when I went into a very deep state, Bradio.
Yes.
And the chanting just no more words come out.
Yeah, no more words.
It is the chanting still goes on.
Yeah, the awareness is aware of it, but it's not you chanting. It's from the nature, the vibration come out.
It's like in this very silent space.
Yeah.
And the chanting still
continues. Yes, the awareness is aware of it. Very beautiful.
Because I feel that because I was too tired, there was no resistance, and that's why I was able to go into that
deep state of consciousness, the awareness. When the craving falls no more, the awareness nature surfaces very, very clear.
Brother, what do you call that state of mind at the time?
Because when the craving falls no more, means the sankhara activity cannot arise. Because you are so tired, then the thing that grabs, or we call it the craving force that actually thrusts you to your physical body, that one actually, when you are very tired, it starts to dissipate one. That's why you feel so like relaxed and so peaceful. Then the awareness very clear one. Then you will go into those deep state. Then after that, you can describe whatever happened. Because that's why before you even describe, I know something good is going to happen. But when you are very tired, that is the best time to meditate. Because your body can really sink in. And there is no resistance at all. No thought, no sankara, nothing. The awareness just went in. Then after that, what happened?
After that, I just stay silent for a while. Then after that, I can feel the consciousness return back again.
Sadhu. Yes, the chanting come out by itself, your awareness is there. Then you went into that deep state. Oh, sadhu. That is your true mind in the awareness state. Going through that whatever manifestation. Then from there, it will return. Later on, it will return. That's why when it return, it come out. Then your consciousness will return. And you will see the whole process. How later on, before your cessation take place, it will also go in like that. Then that time, the whole thing cease. But this one, maybe it's not meant to be. It's meant to be for you to see this deep state of mind in the awareness. The awareness and the chanting is one, then without the craving and all things, because you're very tired, then you went into that deep state. Then after that, slowly through that meditative awareness, you come back. Then you come out of it. And this one, you have to go in and come out a few more times. Then you develop the understanding what that nature is. That's why, like the what they call Six Patria Platform Sutta is mentioned there. Wu Nian, the state of no thought. Then no mark. Then later on, no dwelling. You will start to understand how Hui Ning developed the understanding when the Fifth Patriarch told him how amazing it is, this nature of ours. Nothing is apart from the self nature. All Dhamma arise from that true nature. So all this you will start to understand. But from there, all the mundane manifestation comes about. Before all this manifestation is just that nature. That's why just now in the beginning, before the meditation, this time I explained that part is for the benefit of those who are keen to go into deep understanding of what this nature is. So all these are very beautiful sharing which will help cultivator the way to understand and to go deeper and deeper into the cultivation. Now this thing you can't find in any book. So far I haven't seen any people even able to experience it, how to write about it. Unless there is condition. That's why all this are meant to be very beautiful and cultivated all the way we experience all this. Which I always say, you are not in this line, not in this field of cultivation of the Dhamma way, awareness space, meditation and all those things. You can never go through this type of cultivation to develop this type of experience. And that is impossible. That's why those thought-based ones never touch all this. They can never understand all this. What they touch and understand is a lot of psychic things, energy field and all those things, which are so different. So this is what the true cultivation is all about. When you develop the right understanding and walk the path correctly, cultivate correctly, you will go through a lot of experiences and manifestation which is following the Dhamma way, the path that the Buddha has discovered. That's why the awareness base is very different. The transformation and all those things, the things that unfold and manifest is very different. So these are very beautiful things. Sadhu to you, PJ. Very good. Anything else?
Yeah, Bertil, you know, when I do my religious routine at night, I find that I'm normally in a more relaxed state.
Yes.
And I feel things. I feel a lot.
Sadhu. Yeah, you will become sensitive. You will become very different. You can feel, you can sense a lot of things.
Yeah.
And there is, you continue, yeah.
Yeah, I relate one incident for to share.
There was,
you know, at night I normally daytime I will do the bodhisattva vows along with my other chanting.
Yeah.
I do the bodhisattva vows and I will do the Karuna Dharani.
Okay? Maha Karuna Dharani, yeah. Yeah.
And at night, I will do the chanting of the English version, the Heart Sutra.
Sadhu. Yeah, that one is very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That one, you follow the Heart Sutra book, our thick book. Yeah. That one is very good, very accurate.
Initially, I did it to share merits with my sister. You know.
Oh, Sadhu.
Subsequently, I find that it's very good, and I still continue with it. Yesterday, I have one very funny incident, and when I was chanting towards the end, when it said, you know, the Prajna Paramita is the three mantra, and
correct.
Four mantra, and and then that's why is you chant the mantra of the Prajna Paramita.
Yeah.
So it goes like a. Gate, gate,
para gate,
para sam gate. All the while, there was a little mosquito on the book of the hunting book.
Yeah.
And when I was chanting the mantra the third time, I closed my eyes, Bratio, because you know this thing came to me, Bratio. It was so deep, Bratio.
Yeah, sadhu.
You see. Even the mosquito wants to hear the mantra.
They are the one that has the Dhamma. That's why they want to listen. And the vibration is very different because these are true past life Dhamma practitioners. That's why they will come.
So when
you close your eye, what happened?
You know, as I thought to myself, as a human being, we have the conditions and everything in place.
Oh,
and,
sadhu.
We are not taking it seriously to even do
sadhu. You can have that type of kind of sadhu.
Can we just imagine that if we are born, let's just say, as a mosquito or...
You cannot have the condition.
You cannot have the condition.
Unless, like that mosquito past life, he must have been cultivating until very stable already. That's why when he listened to this, even as a mosquito, he know has some affinity, then he will go and listen there. Sometimes I also like to relate this incident in Australia last time when I went to Melbourne. We were in the park. Then there was a family, Buddhist family, that I came to meet when I was in Melbourne. Very strange. This Achan Jagaro, you all maybe know Achan Brahmo. Achan Jagaro was the abbot of that temple, the Achan Brahm, now the abbot, before Achan Brahm. He was there for very long. Then he came to Malaysia, I told you all. Then I met him at Brickfield. I do the recording. Then after that, I serve as kapia to take care of him that few days when he was in Brickfield, and I follow him to Malacca, where he gave Dhamma talk and all that. Then he was very close to me. He saw my leg. I told you, meditate until the two dots and on my leg, both leg. Then he knew, he was very mindful. He full of metta. And he said, how long already? He said, the thing on your leg. Oh, I said, many years already. I said, since the uni day until then. Oh, he said, Sunday. Then we discussed the Dhamma. Well, I did the recording. His Dhamma was so good. Then after that, before he went back, he liked me so much. He said, Tio, you should come and visit me. He said, then he said, anyway, I will be flying off on what day. If you have time, you should come and visit me too. So that day, I make it a point to see him at the airport. I was so amazed when I was at the airport. All the Thai people there, they love him so much, and they all were gathering around him before he take off. Then he saw me from far. I said, come, Bill, I introduce you to my Thai devotee. I was like, then this Thai devotee, who some of them know English, they told me, he said, Achan Jagaro, his Thai is so good, they like to listen to his Thai Dhamma. And he took photo with me and tell the Thai friend, he said, this one is true Dhamma practitioner and all those things. That's why all those things, the like very close friend. Then after that, he took off. Then that time, I got no condition to go to his temple, even though he invited me there. So I just say, never mind. Then somehow I went to Melbourne. Then there was one couple who actually happened to have what they call dana in their house. So one of my Melbourne friends who stay there, he said, Ratio, why not today we go to this Dhamma Buddhist friend's house? He's having a house dana. I said, can, sadhu. I said, yeah, it will be my pleasure to visit that place and rejoice. So when I went there, I saw him not. Achan Jagaro, that's why I tell you, you won't believe. So because of that, everything for the Malay, he told me why he disrobed. Well, he has to come back and look after the mother. Then after that, he passed over the position to Achan Brahm. Then after that, the next day, we supposed to make some visit to Melbourne. Then that family who came to know, we know Achan Brahm so closely, was so happy. He wanted to go out with us and took us to the park. At the park, that is what I want to tell you. We were sitting there discussing Dhamma. They were asking us about some Dhamma question, very basic one. Then the way I explained, so beautiful. Then suddenly, you won't believe, 10 of these, I don't know what you call birds, white color or no? You call it drones or don't know what, or D-O-V-E. Those very nice birds. I was observing them, listening there for more than 45 minutes, didn't fly away. Listen. That's why you say mosquito listen. Birds also listen. Then that dog in Melbourne also said he can feel my energy. That's why the thing came. He just came, the fur, everything. Then I knew this dog is a Dharma dog. Can send that in Australia, Bellwood Farm also, Isaiah Trust, there's a dog, Dharma dog also. Oh, also same. So a lot of these animals, they can feel. Past life, they have the very stable cultivation. That's why even as a bird, as a dog, or your case is a mosquito, they can understand. They will listen. Yeah. So these are possible. Yeah? Satyavatiyo, Fiji.
Yeah, Bratio, then after that, I made an aspiration that this mosquito will have the causes.
Be
born as a human being in the next
time. Your pure wish will help the mosquito.
And have the conditions to meet up with the true Dharma and I could feel for the mosquito, Bratio.
You can sense it, And there's a lot of joy when you sense it. The Dhamma is so beautiful. When it unfolds, it lets you understand, wow, this thing also possible. Then you are able to contemplate. As a human being, so many sentient beings wasted their life opportunity to cultivate and develop this cultivation. Then what if they were born as a mosquito or what? They don't stand a chance. As a human being also, they're so heedless. That's why you will know, you will rejoice. Then you know this mosquito has its causes and condition, past causes and condition. Otherwise, it cannot manifest that way. That's why there are a lot of video you see on the social media, sometimes they send about the cat following the monk or the abbot or the dog. Pay respect and all those things. Then sometimes the bird, they chip and they can pronounce Amitofo, Amitofo. It's the bird actually chanting it. But it has a lot of affinity from the past. Yeah, as a bird also, they can chant. Normally the bird cannot speak like that. It's just chip, chip, chip. But this one, the pronunciation very clear, very clear. So all these are possible. Very good. Sadhu Piji.
Yeah, Bertil, I'll just tell you another incident. Just 2 days ago before I wrap up. When we talk about synchronicity. Synchronicity is especially when our mind is more quiet.
Yes.
And things just happen the way it's supposed to happen. I went to SS2 Tuesday, and it's about 1 o'clock. And you know the place is like always very jammed, no parking.
SS2, especially the commercial square inside, very jammed.
I went to 4 places in SS2. I managed to get parking in
every one of them.
Every one of them.
Yes.
4 times.
It will show it to you when I tell you.
So unbelievable. As I turn around the corner, I said I will find a parking at correct place, and,
You will manifest.
Somebody was just leaving. And true enough, as I drive, a car will just leave.
Yes.
And Bratio, how to expect 4 times, Bratio?
Non-stop one, it show it to you. It's not only 4 times, you can ask a lot of kayamita.
And when I left to go to another place, also the same thing. So it's 5 times on the day itself. I go like, wow.
It's like impossible. And also, the parking is there. There were many occasions already. And even later on, those kayamita who carry me, they know. He said, "We brother Teo around, you don't worry. You go, sure got parking." It is very strange. Sometimes you cannot explain. How come like that? Packed until like Brickfield Temple, normally packed until no way on. During their activity or festival time or talk or what. But when I went in, there was one car coming up. always the case, and I just and I can find parking very easily. I don't have to really do anything. Initially, it keep on showing to you one very very amazing one, like you are very lucky. A lot of kaya mita told me parking is really true. Then when they travel, the weather also very very beautiful. Oh, Sadhu, very good. Oh, yeah, you witnessing all this. It's going for you to develop the understanding and the faith so that you understand the Dhamma way is like that. Sometimes it's the interference by the, I won't call it interference, it's the help from the non-humans. Yeah. They will condition all these people to move up. But they can read our mind first. That they will condition whatever that is within the range for them to condition, that you will appear at the right time and you will just get the kapa and go in. Very beautiful.
Yeah, Bratio, but that only happens when the mind is
very you quiet. Don't go and expect it all. When you try to expect it, it will never happen. Just let things be. It will keep on unfolding. Let nature take care of everything.
Like you always say, let things just accord and flow.
Accord and flow.
Things will flow and show to us by itself.
Sadhu. Very, very beautiful.
That's all I want to share.
Very good.
Thank you.
Let's rejoice. Sadhu with all the good sharing by Sister Fiji and Sister Pocheng today. Rejoice.